This is a really important book because it helps people with disabilities really get out and about and enjoy kind of the freedom of the road and go and visit some of the best sort of heritage and tourist attractions in the UK. And I think it's partly about giving people confidence because when you have somebody in your family with a disability, there are lots of things you have to think about when you go and visit a venue. Is it going to be, you know, fully accessible? Are the facilities going to be available? And sometimes that means sort of about 6 phone calls in advance to check everything out. So the idea behind the guide is that disabled reviewers have been out, they've checked out the locations, they've written it all up in detail, which means that there's some spontaneity back because actually you can keep this book in your glove compartment or print out the attractions that are in the area that you're touring and decide to go and see somewhere that takes your fancy that day.
Now, there is, I would have thought, a level that you would expect in terms of disability access because of the law. So I'm assuming this guide takes things like ramps for granted, and this is an extra level?
That's right. Yes, the Disability Discrimination Act required certain basic levels of accessibility in all these locations. But what we're finding is that a lot of the venues are really becoming incredibly now to make sure that these places are fully immersive experiences. So some examples I can give you would be foot-operated audio guides, stair-climbing wheelchairs, sensory trails, and all sorts of different kind of quite innovative thinking, really to make sure that the disabled visitor gets a really good quality experience.
So credit where it's due. Which venue has impressed you in terms of what they've done? Have you come across somewhere and you thought, wow, that is really forward-thinking. This is a new level of making sure that people who are less able-bodied are catered for.
Yeah, well, I've been to some of the venues myself, and I would say that the Cairngorms Railway is probably a really good example where there is an accessible carriage in the funicular railway. You can get right up to the top of the mountain there, and there's the possibility even to ski when you get there. So the breathtaking views that you can get up there mean that, you know, disabled people can really get the sort of experience that others might get, you know, who don't have a disability.
I mean, it is the very basic level, I suppose, good commercial practice, isn't it?
Absolutely. And however you measure it, you know, there are many million people with disabilities and, of course, their wider families across the UK who are keen to go out and experience these attractions. So the venues that have been able to put some thought around the experience are going to get those visitors. They will then recommend to others yes, definitely, you know, boost the visitor numbers you know, also just, you know, that broader sense of what that venue is then contributing to the wider world.
You've only highlighted 4 cathedrals. We have an awful lot more cathedrals than that. Is the argument, if you've challenged these buildings, is it that they're very difficult to adapt because of their age and various conservation constraints?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you've got a historic building, there are more challenges in getting accessibility. And what we've done really in the guide, because we've got about 200 locations across the UK that have been thoroughly reviewed by the Rough Guide reviewers, and we've picked out the ones that we think are the best, really, in terms of both the accessibility of the venue, but also the quality of the visiting experience. So if there's somewhere that's accessible but hasn't actually been that good a day out, then that probably wouldn't have made it into the guide, which doesn't mean to say that there aren't other ones which are accessible. And we encourage people to come onto the Accessible Guide website and offer their feedback and ideas as well on how to enhance a particular day by kind of adding to it and, you know, the accessible tea shop or whatever it is that's near the venue.
Well, that's good. I mean, so you can't be accused of tokenism. You've still got to make your tourist attraction engaging.
Absolutely, absolutely. And without naming and shaming, there's been a few places that the reviewers have gone to which, you know, have been accessible, but actually, in all honesty, wouldn't necessarily recommend to everybody the best days out. Then they might go a bit further and somewhere that actually on the surface potentially doesn't look so accessible, but has been well worth it, because, you know, actually what they can then tell people is that, you know, this path might be difficult to get through, but actually, you know, if you do make it, it's fantastic. And actually that's a lot of what people want, is just forewarned is forearmed. And if you know exactly what to expect when you get there, you can plan accordingly.
So do we read between the lines? If you're not included and you're a major venue, is that quite telling?
I think that's quite telling, because we do select these venues on the back of recommendations. I mean, Motability itself is a car scheme for disabled people. We have around 640,000 customers, and those customers are people who've also recommended to us certain venues that have been highlighted in their view as some of the top ones of you know, that they've been to. Equally, you know, people will sometimes come to us and say, this particular venue that's been featured in the guide is not so good now. Maybe some decisions have been made that have made that a less good experience, and that will probably then disappear from the next edition unless, you know, some steps are taken to improve that.
It's interesting that also places have been highlighted for what they're doing for people who are visiting who have autism, because that isn't traditionally one of the areas where businesses would adapt to help those visitors, is it?
No, absolutely. And I think, again, thoughtful planning. And I think the secret, really, when we talk to the venues that excel in this, is using local disability organisations to help do the planning. And if you can get involved with a local organisation that represents people with those kinds of cognitive and intellectual disabilities, lots of actually relatively simple things can be done to make that experience a really rewarding one for everybody involved.
Is the Rough Guide to Accessible Britain on sale now?
It's actually largely online, and you can then sort of print out pages for the specific area that you're maybe visiting. If people have difficulty in accessing online for any reason, then they can get in touch with us and we'll be able to provide them with a printed copy.
And very broadly,
Motability website.
Sorry for interrupting.
Yes.
Very broadly, is there one region of the country that gets a bigger gold star than everywhere else?
Well, because disabled people live all over the country, I think it's been important for us to show the length and breadth of things that are happening across the UK. But just coming back to what I said earlier on about Scotland, I mean, if you thought about it very broadly, you wouldn't necessarily automatically think of Scotland being the sort of place that would be perfect, a place for disabled people to explore. But in addition to the Cairngorm Railway that I've mentioned, we have the Falkirk Wheel, which is a canal feature that's been adapted for disabled people. And there's a number of accessible trails and other places, as well as places in the big cities there, that disabled people would probably really, really enjoy with the confidence of knowing what to expect.
Delia, thank you.